We have been going through the book of Revelation, 2 months? Maybe a little 2.5, but we have got up to the 4th chapter, and I'm not going to go there today because this is communion, so bear with me. I thought the other day, we take communion for a reason, and I'm not going into the communion service. We'll do that in the communion service. But let's talk about the reason we take communion. Let's talk about the reason we love the Lord. John 12, the Lord is speaking to Jews, and there were some Greeks that came up, and they desired to see Jesus. The natural man receiveth not the things of God and cares nothing about Jesus. And therefore, if they sought to see the Christ in the way the Bible teaches us that we do, then they're born of the Spirit of God. But they came to see Jesus. They had an interest from their heart, I do believe, sincerely, to see the Lord. And we do too. Philip come and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus in verse 23. And Jesus answered, "The hour is come that the Son of Man," pray for me, "should be glorified." You notice this says, "the Son of Man." We find in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We find in Hebrews 11 that by faith we know that all things were created by the Word of God, that is Christ. My point with that, there He is, the living Word of God, as John 1 says, that was made flesh. Here He says, "The hour is come that the Son of Man." You realize the fact that God was born as man. Isaiah 7:14 makes a statement that the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1 teaches us the meaning of the word Emmanuel is God with us. God in the flesh. The second person of the Godhead, the living Word of God, was made flesh. God is a spirit. Steve said, "No man has seen God at any time." This is true. He's a spirit. Our eyes today have not beheld Him, but the eyes of faith have. One day we shall see Him. But I read in the Bible where I believe that Adam did see God, because he would walk with Him in the garden. Who did he see? "No man hath seen the Father." God is a spirit. He's called the invisible God. So therefore it was Christ who manifested God to Adam and walked with him in the garden. Making a point. This is speaking of the Son of Man. He's not created. Talked about that a few weeks ago. He is the Creator. By Him were all things made. John 1. The Word of God. Nothing. All things were made by Him and nothing was made without Him. But there He is, the Word of God. Here, He's the Son of Man. He is the eternal Son of God. But in this context, He is revealed to us as the Son of Man. What is the importance of that? That the Son of Man should be glorified. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Quick notes on that. She was a virgin. Her womb was not polluted by man. What she brought forth would be the Holy One of God. She did not conceive from man. She conceived of the Holy Spirit by which the worlds were framed. We don't have to talk about what science falsely so-called lies that a woman cannot bear without knowing a man, because we can look at these mountains and we can see what God created. and we can understand the power of creation, and we can see and understand how she conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And she brought forth this one flesh of man, many reasons for that, seed of David, sit upon the throne of David. But my point today is she brought forth this man in the body of a man. God cannot suffer. God cannot die. God does not get hungry. God does not get thirsty. God does not want. God does not need. God is a God of purpose, period.
Amen.
Now, when Adam fell in transgression, we were driven from the Garden of Eden. Adam was. We were all set aside, away from the presence of God. Adam walked with God in the garden. He saw Christ manifested to him, the pre-incarnate Son of God. All that was taken from us by the work of Satan, the rebellion's a better word, but I use work because it teaches us that our works cannot save us. People talk about free will. We had it one time, and you see what Adam did with free will. And we all were cast into sin and death. We were driven from the presence of God. Therefore, we cannot see God. Could not. And cannot in the flesh until we leave this world. Some did. The Son of Man walked upon the face of the earth. But the point I'm trying to make with this is this is the Son of Man. God the Father cannot suffer. Christ was come into the world as the Son of Man, verily, truly, amen, all God. He manifested God to us, raising the dead, healing the sick. Yet He is also the Son of Man from the Virgin, bearing in His body the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. For what purpose? How would Christ be glorified? For the purpose of dying. For the purpose of suffering. God the Father cannot die. God does not even age. He is, period. Has always been and will always be. God took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, the body of a man, to suffer and bleed and die, because we are all in the nature of Adam. We're all sinners. We're all fallen creatures. And we, God's children, those He loved, needed a Savior. The only one who could save us was the living Word of God, Christ, all God, all man. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is the purpose of all things created. That the Son of Man, grasp onto that. The Son of Man, God made man in a body. God made man flesh and blood. The living Word of God became flesh. He was made flesh. There's the proper way of saying it. He took upon Himself our nature to pay our sin debt. We are all guilty. We are all convicted. We have inherited sin from our fathers all the way back to Adam. We have sins of commission. I wish I could forget. We had sins of omission, which I wish I could forget even greater. Times when I had opportunity to help someone. and did not. To me, that's worse than some of the things I've done. Christ came to be glorified in laying His life down for His sheep, for His people. This was not something new. This was something that was in eternity. You understand, eternity does not begin. Eternity does not end. And my way of explaining that, I will do it this way, and I hope you will understand it and take it. There is no eternity past. We see things and we look at things and explain things because we're creatures of time. We're finite and mortal in this body of sinful flesh. So we explain in eternity past, God did this. And in eternity future, we shall walk with God and see Him as He is. But the very fact is, eternity as God is. It's now, it's present, it's ever present, as is God. And I say that to make the point again. This is basic, true doctrine. That every child of God, I pray, God would give understanding. There's never been a time when God, eternal or not, a time I mean, where God did not know you, when God did not love you. There has never been a time that God has not seen all that was, all that is today, and all that will be tomorrow. There's never been a time in eternity that God didn't know every thought you will ever have, every hair that will ever be upon the face of your head, and every act that you do. God foreknew, this is true Bible doctrine, that Adam would fall. That all of creation would fall in sin and in death and be guilty of eternal wrath in the lake of fire. But God purposed when? In eternity. This purpose never began. This purpose has always been in the eternal God to save His people from their sins, those He purposed to love. Ephesians 1. This is getting like Romans 8. People don't want to talk about it. Well, we talk about it too much. No, we don't. This is given that we might have an understanding of the power and the purpose of the Godhead and of He whom God has exalted far above all other things, that we are here to glorify. That all things created are for His glory.
Right.
And that is the Son of God, the living Word. Ephesians 3, blessed be the God and Father. This is proof of the covenant. Blessed be the God and Father. There's the Father. Let us make man in our image. Genesis 1, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, the Godhead. Let us, all three, make man in our image. Righteous, without sin, good, upright. Blessed be the God and Father. He did not become the Father of Jesus Christ. He has always been the Father of Jesus Christ. Christ was not created. Christ is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God are as eternal and share as much glory and as much deity as the Father Himself. And all three are one. There are three that bear record that He is God in heaven. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of Man who was to be glorified. That hour had come. The hour that Acts 1 and 3 said was His passion. Think about that when we talk about eternity. All through creation, we can't fathom this. I can look back to yesterday when we were cleaning the church and how much we enjoyed it. I can look back to the time I've spent with my brother working down here and how much I've enjoyed it. I can look back at a few years ago and see things and understand things. I can't go back to my birth because I do not remember that. That's the time. But God is beyond that. God's always known all things. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all through all those times, way back in eternity, where it has no beginning, but it is. This covenant was made. It didn't have a beginning. It's permanent. It has always been. He's revealed it unto us for our peace of mind. And also that we might glorify God as we strive to serve God and love God and adore God in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, the church here in the world. Here's my point. According as He, God the Father, hath chosen us, His elect, in Him, Jesus Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. Before God spoke. Before all things were made by Him. Before, when there was nothing but God, the only eternal creature, period, yea, amen. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Oh, catch this when you look in the mirror and you're ashamed of yourself, as I do. That we should be holy, sanctified, set aside in Christ. And without blame, because Christ bore our shame. He paid for our sins. Our blame, our sin was upon Him. Why? Isaiah 53. Because it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. For what purpose? Back to John 12. That the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, would be glorified. When Christ laid His body down, it was the body of a man. When Christ raised His body up, it is the body of a man. The Son of Man in the body of a man sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When He appears in the eastern sky in His glory and He separates the sheep from the goats, He will be there in the body as the Son of Man, because when the Son of Man, He says, appears in His glory. When we shall see Him as He is, He shall be in the body of the Son of Man. Understand that. He's made us holy and without blame before God the Father in love. That glory is to the Son of Man. It's to the living Word of God who was made flesh. God took the body of that man and raised him up. I'm not getting into communion here, but that's one reason we celebrate and we bring to remembrance His sacrifice in His body. God made man in a body. Man fell in a body. Christ came in a body. God in a body laid that body down, raised it up, ascended it back to heaven in the body. He bought our body. He took upon Himself our body. He who could not suffer was born as a man to suffer for our body. You want to think about suffering? Think about the sufferings of Christ. Think about the great tribulation upon His soul as He went to Gethsemane and prayed. Father, if it be Thy will, remove this cup. Nonetheless, not my will, but Thine be done. That was the man talking, dreading what came. I've said, told people this before, I used to dread to go to work as I got on in my career. I dreaded the trouble that was coming. No, I wasn't afraid of anything. I was just sick of it. I didn't want to go back into government and the foolishness contained in modern government and all the things that were there. Christ and I'm a mortal sinner. The man Jesus Christ had great suffering in his anxiety. There's a word to use maybe, if it's not forgive me, of knowing what was going to pass. Yet a lesson for us, still prayed, thy will be done, not mine. Great drops of sweat as blood, but it was sweat falling from his head. You ever worried yourself to where you sweat? I've been there. I'm sure most of you have too. Not even thinking about the suffering of the body, spit upon, he endured the cross and despised the shame. He bore our shame. He despised the shame. Spit upon, crown of thorns on his head. That hurts. That hurts. But then let's consider the pain of the body. Beaten, scourged, the whip with the many fingers of tongs coming off, with metal and bone embedded within it, beaten upon his back. His back laid open in blood, beaten so badly they had to have someone they compelled to carry his cross. Isaiah 52, leading up to Isaiah 53, where it shows him as the Lamb of God. Isaiah 52 said he was beaten beyond visage. He was beaten so bad his eyes were shut he couldn't see, but he's also beaten so bad it was unrecognizable as to who he was. And scourged and beaten. We're not talking about a man, just a man. We're talking about the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, who laid his body down, nailed to a cross, hands nailed. Well, they tied a rope around. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. If it said that, if that was so, God would have told us. He drove the nails through his hand. That's what the Bible says. They drove nails through his feet. Read the 22nd Psalm. He hung there. He hung on the cross in that body suffering. God who cannot suffer. God who cannot die. And by the way, we didn't kill him. He laid his life down. But for our sins. 22nd Psalm, he was there. You could tell all his bones. He was hanging there. You could see every bone. You look at these muscle-building guys used to be on TV and they would have those muscles ripped out. You could see them with all that grease over them. That's what you see in Christ as he hangs upon the cross with his bones. All my bones tell. Compassed with dogs. Enemy, even his own people. His heart was melted within him. Mm-hmm. A broken heart? A broken heart melted within him? For when he was dead and they pierced his side, out came that blood and water, proving he's already dead. Because it began to separate. But the text, and I'll stay with it, it's on the sufferings of Christ. The Son of Man will be glorified. All of this was ordained. That's the word used in Acts 2. Let me find it. Acts 2. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That doesn't mean God caused those mean, wicked men to do it. Go back to the second Psalm. Kings of the earth, Pilate, Herod, and all the leaders of the people, in rabid hatred, delivered him up. So the Lord shall laugh. He'll have him in derision. Through their wicked act, God worked and brought salvation to his people, for by his counsel, by his foreknowledge, he suffered that. At a time that would have been supposed to have been a visitation, when Christ would visit his people. Deuteronomy 32, in the day of their visitation, I will visit this sin upon them. There was a time of visitation. Should have been peace. They rejected him. But God suffered that and God used that. And God saved us from our sins. All this decided from before the foundation of the world. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The fruit of Christ's works. My works fail. My fruit falters. It can wither and dry away. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. Christ is God. The Son of Man is the Son of God. He is all man. He is all God. He cannot fail. His fruit endureth forever. He that loveth his life shall lose it. That's loving the life in this world and hanging on to that. Instead of taking up your cross and following the Lord, you lose some of your peace and joy in this world. You can lose most of it, I do believe, but God is always there because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he that hateth his life, this world, shall keep it unto life eternal. The older I get, the more I hate this world, the more I hate society, the more I hate government, the more I hate the world around me and all the sins here, and I'm ready to go home. Where I hope to see my Lord, I expect to. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Is that not a fantastic, great statement? God will honor man, his people who strive, not gain perfection, but strive to serve the Lord. Amongst all their temptations and evil thoughts and evil deeds and wickedness, the things that Satan throws through them, against all their diseases, all their trials and tribulations and hardships of life, God will honor us. Now here's back to the text. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, to die, to suffer, bleed, and die. His passion. Came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. It's all about the glory of God. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I'm going to touch on that before going to John 17. I'm going to tell you this. You can read Luke and you can see where Christ is born in the world as a multitude of the heavenly host. They're praising God and telling those shepherd men about the story of Jesus Christ. Unto you this day in the city of David the Savior. God was glorified in that. God was glorified when Christ was baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God was glorified when Christ died upon the cross, saving those the Father gave Him, no more, no less, from their sins. Amen. And He'll be glorified when He comes in His glory and brings every one of the elect of God to heaven in immortal glory. John 17, these words spake Jesus as He's about to be crucified. And lifted up His eyes to heaven, I bow my head. I dare not look toward God. I am a sinner. This is the Word of God who was made flesh. Father, the hour, this hour of His glory is come. Glorify thy Son. That thy Son, that's speaking of the man Jesus Christ. Glorify thy Son. That thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given Him power over all flesh, period, cut, dried, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Every child of God has eternal life. It came not from the preacher. It came not from the church. John chapter 1, it didn't come from blood, ours. It didn't come from lineage, ours. It didn't come from what we want, think, do, choose, work for, anything else. It came from Christ. His hour had come to be glorified, and He's given us eternal life, period. We may not even know it today. We may not know it till next week or next year, a child of God walking in this world, because the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. But when He gives that life in your heart, you know. You know there's a heart knowledge. Now the gospel by the Spirit of God gives us a head knowledge too. That's where we have joy. That's where we have peace in learning about the Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal. And I'll close with this text. That they, God's children, those He died for, those He gave eternal life, brethren, grasp onto that. Whoa! When this body is raised from the ground and reunited with our soul and our spirit, or those which are alive when He returns and the sky split open, the earth and sin and everything sinful is cast into the lake of fire and destroyed because it's tainted with sin. And we stand in glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You can say ever for the next 50 years and you will not begin to approach unto what eternity is. We don't understand that. We'll always be with Christ. When we take communion, we are showing the Lord's death. Because He came to this world to be glorified by saving His people from their sins, and those that He did save by the will of God, by the counsel of God, will stand in heaven in immortal glory. We don't know what that's going to be like. We could not stand it in this body of sin if we did know it. We'd bust wide open. It's too great for us to know. But we know we'll see Him, and we know this, He will be glorified eternally. That's what it's all about. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Life is to know God. Go back to Adam. We were driven from God. We know not God by our nature. We're sinners, could not stand in the knowledge of God until Christ died for us. His body being the sacrifice to save us from our sins. And in that He is glorified. He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth, John 19:30. It is finished in the finished work of Christ. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Eternal life was secured, bought, and paid for every child of God by Jesus Christ. I have glorified Thee on the earth. One day, my brethren, just like in the days of Noah, we'll be walking around working jobs, getting hungry, eating, getting thirsty, drinking, doing all the things we do, some by our nature, some by the grace of God, as we fight this battle in this world. And one day, the Son of Man will appear in His glory. In His glory. Don't know when. Wish it was yesterday. We'd be looking at Him right now.